Hey there, Ancient Faith Radio listeners. Join us live in just a few seconds for Ancient Faith Today. We are going to be asking the question, can the famous be faithful Christians? I'm sure that you've seen the pictures of Kat Von D, who became a catechumen. Well, we're going to discuss this, not her so much, but we're going to discuss what is the difficulty for famous people in embracing Christianity. Stay tuned. Here we go. Welcome to Ancient Faith Today Live. This is Father Tom Soroka, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. It is January 28th, 2025, and we are discussing today an important question, and it really came up because I'm sure that you've seen all of the news that went across the orthosphere about Kat Von D becoming a catechumen, and we ask for God's blessings on her. I think it's very interesting when we see that there are people that are becoming Orthodox, that are famous, and so forth. I know that a lot of this goes on daily. We have talked about Jordan Peterson before, and you know his interest in Orthodoxy and iconography, and his association with Jonathan Peugeot, and it almost seems like there's a little war going on for him. You know, what would that be like? What is it like for people who have fame and who are influential, if you will, to become Christians? And what are the challenges there? I think this is very, very important. So what I'd like you to do is right now, go ahead and like this program and send it out to a friend or family, because we are going to be talking about some pretty interesting things. Also, we're going to have a special guest on, Lacey Sturm of Flyleaf fame, and we're going to talk to her in a second, but you can go to youtube.com/ancientfaithministries, go down into the live chat there. I would love to hear from you. Let us know where you're from. Steve, welcome. David, welcome. Ryan, welcome. So nice to have you in the chat. If you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/ancientfaithministries. Go into the live chat there. Let us know where you're from. We would love to hear from you. Okay, so we are talking about famous people, and we're talking about their faith. I think for better or for worse, we're in a media-driven culture. There are some people that are very much influenced by those who have fame, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about it in a very real way. I already see, for instance, Steve says, are you asking if someone can serve two masters, Christ and Hollywood? This is, I think, Steve, you put this perfectly. I think that this is one of those really important questions that will come up. And I think for famous people, for people who have notoriety, they have to ask themselves that question. Obviously, I can't answer it, but we're going to bring Lacey Sturm on. So just to introduce her, let's take a clip from one of her, I would say, latest hits from her album, Canonic Metanoia. This particular song came out before the album actually was released. It's called The Decree, and it starts with something that Lacey was always known for on Flyleaf. And of course, she toured with them last summer. We're going to talk about that too. But check this out.
She collects gray drops of rain inside the bottom of her glass, till the world is gone from upside down to right side up again. 'Cause she believes till she can see.
Lacey Sturm, my dear sister in Christ, welcome back to Ancient Faith Today.
Thank you, Father Tom. Good to be with you.
You know, I love you with all my heart. It's funny because for those of you that don't know your music, they probably hear that scream and they think, what in the world's going on? You know, is that like, that's not very churchly. That's not Byzantine chant. You know, is that tone sure. nine? What is that? So, you know, I wanted to give this particular show a little bit of twist because of the news about Kat Von D embracing, starting her steps toward Orthodox Christianity, because she has, it seems to me, the same type of alternative background that you don't normally consider someone who is, quote unquote, a Christian, right? So those kind of things, I think people want to hear about and say like, well, wait a second, she doesn't look like this, and your music doesn't sound like quote unquote, what I think Christian music should be. So here's my question. As I said, Kat Von D became a Christian, I guess a couple of years ago. It was a huge story. There were pictures all over the place of her being baptized, and it was a big deal, right? It was a big deal because she was associated with kind of the dark arts, right? It dresses very goth. I think you had a goth phase at one time, right? And I also know that, and the reason I bring her up is you're going to do a show with her, I think, in March, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have a show booked for a festival there. And I was really excited to see that she was going to be on this show. Yeah.
Good, good. And I know you've had some, you know, you've had some conversations with her, and I don't want to pry into that relationship. I guess my question is, what are the things as a person that is seen as an alternative rock star, right? Where your music is not top 40, it's not, you know, easy listening, it's not, quote unquote, the kind of normal Christian music, if you will. It's not pop. What are the challenges that you have being in that world, but then embracing Christianity and then embracing Orthodox Christianity, which seems like totally the opposite of the type of music that you sing?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I first became a Christian, I was very confused by the music that was considered Christian music. I worked at a Christian bookstore in high school after I became a Christian, and I looked everywhere for something that felt like appropriate to the message of the cross, you know, a crucifixion, a bloody, torturous death, going into hell, defeating Satan, defeating demons, driving them out like the God, and then rising from the dead and like empowering the least of these. Like, when I read about, like, I talk about this in my first book, and I think I talked a little about this in my interview with you. But when I read about Jesus for the first time in the Gospels, I remember thinking, this is everything that I loved about Kurt Cobain in Nirvana, because he literally associated with the ones everybody was outcasting, was shunning. And the thing that grunge music, he was like considered had no place to lay his head, right? Like this is, yeah, like, this was like something that I identified with as a kid. And to me, I know it seems opposite maybe, I mean, and you kind of look like you dress a little goth. I mean, Father Tom, like always wearing this black robe, you know.
That's true. It's true, right? I'm an all black. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing. Like the enemy wants to masquerade all the time as if he is the thing that is beautiful about Christ, about God. He wants to act like he's God, right? And so he tries to, I think in my mind, what I've seen is that he tries to copycat. He tries to like have the same kind of thing. When I first thought Orthodox Christianity, it seemed like stuff I saw in horror movies was like dark robes and like the chanting and like the incense and like all of that felt. And my mom would have said, oh, that looks like satanic. And that's, but when you look at it now, it's like, oh no, the devil actually doesn't have any beauty of his own. It was all like trying to take from what was, you know, God's. Like he's trying to masquerade as if these things are his. Mm-hmm. When really it's ancient Christianity and it's the authority is God's, right? Like he's walking in this robe of authority, like the, I don't know. So I feel like when I found personally, and I think this is true, you know, with people who are in an alternative kind of lifestyle, I think they're looking for the real deal. Like they're looking for the truth and they don't see it in Christianity that they've been familiar with. They don't see it in society. And so they end up mocking it, you know, because like, it, like it doesn't exist. Right. I don't know.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that those artists that want to mock Christianity do it in a certain way so that they are an alternative to Christ and to God and to truth, but in a way kind of lead people toward that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, and what my in my journey to mock Christianity wasn't that I was mocking truth. It was that I felt like there was hypocrisy, which is false, like a mask wearer, right? And I felt like there was people who acted like they knew everything, but they were inconsistent, like they were hypocrites. And so to take what they felt, what they were trying to pass off as authentic, which in the end, you know, I had to have revelation about this from God, right? He had to open my eyes to see the truth about who he is, but I couldn't see it in society. I couldn't see it because of my experience. I had blinders on. I had, you know, glasses on that colored everything. And so I found the cracks in what they, and that's where I always went because it made me laugh. Like, oh, this dude, this guy, these people, this church, you know, look, of course they're gonna, you know, and so it's kind of like, finding somebody who's honest enough to call it out. But it's, you know, that's the perspective. But when I became a Christian, I remember going, this is to me so alternative, the gospel message, the way of life. It's so hardcore. it's like the most extreme, you know, to say God would humble himself and become a like us and go through and then take all of the sin of the world on his shoulders and be crucified, humiliated, stripped. Like, this is like, to me, the most rebellious of society. Like, this is like, I don't know. It's just different. It's what you're actually looking for. So when you see it, your eyes are open to it. Everything you were rebelling against were things that actually God didn't like either. I heard somebody say the other day, tell me about the God that you don't believe in, and I probably don't believe in him either.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. That's always a great line to say to atheists, right? Like, I'll say, well, tell me this God that you don't believe in, right? And they say, well, he's angry and he hates people and, you know, he sends them to hell because he hates people. And so everyone's like, well, you know, I don't believe in that God either, right? Yeah, so that's perfect. Lacey, what I want to do is, because I want to go into, and again, you know, what spurred this on was, and I think I've seen it for a while, and that is chasing after the famous to say, oh, you know, this one's going to be Orthodox. That one's going to be Orthodox. I'm seeing it online. Now, I know for a fact you're not a social media person. I don't think you go on at all. In fact, I've shown you stuff on your own page. Say, did you see this? And you're like, yeah, I don't watch that. So, you know, you like, you're not on social media. You have a team that does that and so forth. But what spurred this on was the idea that, you know, it's not just about the famous. Can the famous be faithful Christians? I think we as Orthodox Christians need to look at ourselves and say, well, are we feeding into this, right? Are we saying, oh, wow, Kat Von D, she's going to be Orthodox. Lacey Sturm, she's Orthodox. You know, Jonathan Jackson, whomever it is. And I think we have to be careful. All right. So I want to go to a few comments here. And by the way, those of you that are in the comments section, I would love if you know, if you're a Flyleaf fan, if you're a Lacey Sturm fan, give her a shout out in the comments. Have you seen her concerts? Do you have her albums? Let us know. I love this first comment here that says, and it's from David Lowe. David Lowe says, he has two comments here. I met Lacey a while back. She's so nice. I was so nervous, but she was so sweet and down to earth. You are like, David, you got this right. Exactly. I'm going to tell a little story. Lacey, you're going to hate this. All right. So just don't pay attention. You know, I'm going to embarrass you here. So Lacey, sometimes you come to our matin services, right? At our church. And yeah. You just come and you pray and that's it. And then sometimes we have a little tea afterwards and you sit there and you participate in the discussions and like you never, you would never, ever, ever say, oh yeah, by the way, like I'm listed as one of the top 10 rock divas of all time. Like this is not you at all. And I remember one time, this is the funniest story ever. I still love thinking about this, where there was a person there and they said, oh, what do you do? And you said, oh, I'm a musician. And this person said, oh, I'm a musician too. And then they started to give you advice about like how you could further your career. And I'm thinking, oh, you don't know who you're talking to, but this is how you are. Like you don't, like you are so unassuming. And I think there's a real lesson there. All right. And that's why I love you so much. Ryan M says, wow, small world. Lacey, I was with Paris Green when you were still passerby. Yeah, I was a terrible person. So aww. Ryan, I'm not sure exactly what that's all about, but Lacey, you must know. Clue us in. Yeah. There. What's going on?
Well, I do. I don't remember Paris Green having terrible people in their band, but I do remember Paris Green. We did tour with them. I think I was probably terrible just as much, probably. But it's funny to say that. Know. Yeah, we did a lot of local shows before we started doing bigger ones, and we toured a lot before we ever went international. So
wow.
That's true. We did tour with Paris Green. I wonder what you're doing on an Ancient Faith Radio website chat room.
Dude. Hey, Ryan. Yeah. Well, let her know. Let her know. All right. Zealous Seraphim says, I might have the all-time record for Canonic Metanoia streams. My favorite album ever. Many of the songs bring me to tears. That's high praise. That's high praise. Rosalind Mitchell says, I am a huge Lacey Sturm fan. And then she says, I am a novelist and would love if Lacey wrote music for my books. All right. Well, if Lacey wants to reach out, we'll get you two together. Zella Seraphim also says she also met my priest, Father Christopher. So that's very, very good. All right. So here's what we're going to do, Lacey. Let's talk a little bit, about that movement. You know, there's something going on right now. Mm-hmm. What's happening, and it's just, So to me, it's this, only God does this, right? This is not about YouTube algorithms. This is not about, you know, one YouTuber. This is about God moving people's hearts at a particular moment in time. And a lot of things have contributed to this. COVID, people staying home, you know, people thinking about their lives, not working, having a lot of time on their hands, even being kept from going to church and so forth. Something is happening, and that is that there is an orthodox moment. And it's something, especially, and you're seeing this, and why don't you tell us a little bit about this? You're seeing this among these people who are non-traditional, goth singers, hard rock singers, alternative rock musicians, pagans, witches. They seem to be attracted to the traditional values of orthodoxy. So tell me, first of all, and you know, if you don't mind, because I know you've told me this, I don't know if you're comfortable with it. Can you tell us some of the bands, at least, that you've been talking with that are discovering Orthodox Christianity? And why do you think this is happening right now?
Well, we are. I mean, they say Orthodox Christianity is the best kept secret in Christianity. That's an interesting way of thinking about it, because I think people are just tired of the what falls apart, you know, the novelties of Christian trends. You know, I think they're just tired, and they just are looking for something that is rooted somewhere. I think they're looking for ultimate truth. I think they're tired of, and I think also, especially in the dark things that are so blatant, I think I think there's something repulsive in humanity about it. I think, you know, you expect when you talk to somebody who's really into dark, heavy music that they're going to be this evil person, because that's the cliche idea among people who don't know people in that world. But these people are deeply intelligent people who are very, they consider things deeply. And what they, again, like we go back to what we were just saying, to consider things deeply, you start to see that there's just things that aren't right all around us, that don't make sense. How can God be loving when there's horrible things going on in the world? That by itself, to be able to find a faith that shows strength when you go through hard things, that this is part of strengthening you. This is part of what we say salvation, what the Protestants would call sanctification, what we say is actually saving your soul to actually bring you out of the fire. And now, you know, you are somebody that has credibility with someone who's been through something hard and awful and terrible. Do you have anything to say to the people who are suffering? Yeah, we're going to say, how can we stand by you? How can we go through it with you? So the things that are trendy, that come and go, they're just not working, and people's souls are tired, and they're seeing, wow, look, here's another, it's not that they don't love Jesus. I mean, I think that it's that they want Jesus to be what they dream that he is, right? And then they don't see it in the people. And so then they just say, well, maybe it's just made up like Santa Claus, right? But in the end, they realize, when they see it and they taste it, this is what God would be like. This is what it would be like to walk into a room where heaven and earth meet. This is what the angels would sound like. You know, this is what it's like. And it gives them hope again to believe. And we don't. And the great thing too about Orthodoxy is that when you go to the liturgy, there's something about it that is eternal. It's eternity you're touching, you know. And you come into this eternal moment that's not about somebody's interpretation of this or that. And it's right. actually touching everybody right where they are individually and bringing us as a whole at the same time somehow. It's prophetic in that way.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because you said something that I thought was really very, very interesting. You said that the music often, you even began with like Kurt Cobain and so forth and said like it really spoke to you, right? So a lot of the music, it seems to be from your particular genre, from the alternative genre, is filled with the angst of existence, right? The pain of human existence, human emotions. There's a lot of cries of emptiness in at least in the secular world through this music. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. An honest cry of the heart.
Yeah. So essentially what you're saying is that Orthodox Christianity is reaching the people that are fans of this music, that are writing this music, performing this music, to say that, hey, the pain that you're feeling, the emotions that you're feeling, the emptiness that you're feeling, you may have tried to do that through, conventional means, or, you know, the kind of the easy road of what we would say of certain forms of Christianity, but there is a reality, a healing reality in Orthodoxy that transcends all of those things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, to me, you know how many priests I've met that used to be in a metal band? It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Right.
I mean, I tour and go to Orthodox churches throughout the U.S. And I don't know how many times I've met metal fans in the churches. And it's the people that are drawn to that are drawn to something that is the deepest, right?
Luxury is probably the most famous example, right? You know, they were priests and they weren't priests. They were a punk band. And they all became priests, right? Or
right.
three of them.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example, because I think that the thing that was attractive and alluring about luxury being a local band is that they didn't care what anybody thought about them. They were just doing art, honestly, from their soul. And then when they became, and it was mesmerizing because it felt like something new, but also honest to them. They were funny and they were like themselves, but they were also like trippy is the best word. And then they ended up doing like this continuation of that idea, like being this trippy band doing trippy things is what they said, you know, like now you're a priest.
Right.
Oh, okay. That makes sense
right.
for you. It's like, that's a crazy thing to do, and you guys are crazy. It's like alternative life, alternative thought, alternative thinking. How can you become a priest unless you're like being pulled out of the world and like set
right.
somewhere on a different path? Like, let's go against the current, whatever that looks
that's
like.
Really,
okay, let's be priests.
I love that. I love it. I love it. All right, let's go back to the comments here. I want to go to Jacob Kinley. Jacob Kinley, he says, the interest among the punk/metal crowd in Orthodoxy or traditional Christianity always reminds me of St. John the Baptist going to the wilderness, the edge, but pointing to the center, Christ. What do you think about that, Lacey? In a way, it's like the wilderness pointing to something else, someone else.
Yeah, I mean, if you take St. John the Baptist's words to the Pharisees, you could put that in a metal song and it would be an awesome song. You know, you brood of vipers, like who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Like, yes, absolutely. And he's dreaded and he like doesn't bathe. And I don't know, maybe I guess he's a Baptist. He's in the water. But like he's like this dude that lives in the desert that eats bugs and honey. You know, it's like this guy is alternative to the highest degree. And I've always said that with our music. I believe metal music attracts the prophetic people, that they're like an intercessors, people who feel deeply, that see a great overview picture or a deep picture that people, they feel like the world's not seeing. And they want to call out the people. So like they've been rejected by the church and they've been rejected by the world. And so they end up like Elijah, running from the religious people and running from the king, right? He's like, everybody hates him. But and that's why our first album had a raven on it, because, you know, he sent the ravens to minister to Elijah in the wilderness. And so I was like, hopefully this will be food for those that are in the wilderness that have seen hypocrisy in the church and in the world. And they're, what do? They listen to rock music.
Wow. Wow. That's really cool. Here's another comment from Rusin. Rusin says, huge Lacey fan here. Then later I was surprised to hear that she was famous. It was a funny coffee social for me. Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about honestly, and I'm sure it's probably a little bit uncomfortable with you to kind of refer to yourself this way, but I do want to talk about the, you know, what is the reality? And actually, let's do that right now. As a performer, now you are going out, and I remember, you know, I'm going to reveal some things that, you know, I didn't even ask you, I was going to say that, but I think it speaks to your, the struggle. I remember when you were thinking about going on tour last summer, and you and I had several very lengthy talks. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
You were really kind of wondering what the right thing was to do. And yeah. I think that ultimately it was down to you want to glorify Christ in everything that you do and not yourself. And, you know, maybe I'm guilty to a certain extent because I'm saying, oh, it's Lacey Sturm, Flyleaf, you know, your newest album, Kenotic Metanoia, got nominated for Album of the Year, with the Dove Awards. So what is the struggle that you go through? Help us understand when you know people are going to come to you and say, oh, Lacey, I love you. I love you so much. I've listened to all your music. How do you deal with that? How do you say, since Jacob brought up St. John the Baptist, how do you say, I must decrease and he, Jesus, must increase?
Yeah. Well, specifically, you know, John the Baptist was talking about the disciples being like, he's letting other people, you know, everybody's going to him. And that's really interesting that you point that out. I should write that down, because that part, to know that, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to give the stage to somebody else and show them that there is, like, everybody has something to offer to people. Like, you have something hidden in you. Like he says, this treasure hidden in earthen vessels, right? We have gifts within each one of us. This is something that is hard in Orthodox Christianity, because the priest holds all the roles, as far as I've seen. He like does everything almost, like, and it's hard to see the gifts in each person. But when I hear people's stories of overcoming, of going through hard things and not realizing they've overcome, still like shaken by what they went through, and I'm like, look what you just came through. That's amazing. Like, can you pray for me? Right. Like to be able to give the microphone to someone else and to say, you know, he must increase. It's him. It's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory, right? He's in you too. That's why I love that you do interviews. You know, you do interviews and you invite people to share what, you know, the Christ in them. What is God doing in you? Like, what is he, what is going on? I'm sorry, my I need to get a charger real quick for my computer.
All right. Sorry. Well, while you're doing that, all right. Okay. So while you're doing that, let's look at some of the comments here. Yanis H. And then we're going to go back to a question right before Yanis H. But Yanis H. says, I agree with what she's saying. Just converted on Christmas Eve. I was looking for more and God brought me to Orthodoxy. My whole family converted. Glory to God.
Wow.
Glory to God indeed. Glory to God indeed, because may God lead you into greater and greater awareness of his love and his glory through his church. So Lacey, I think you're back here. There's a question that came up, and it's right above there. It's Harry Garris. Harry Garris says, this is a good question. What does it look like to continue to be in these secular spaces, i.e. the rock music world, as an Orthodox Christian? Or does baptism into the church mean turning away from those spaces? So you're
great.
Perfect to answer this question. What does it mean to be in these secular arenas, secular concerts, the secular music industry? Do you have to turn away from it, or what is it like to be in it, and how do you work that out?
Well, I really appreciated reading about this in Orthodox writings about the sacred and the secular, because it's very hard to explain that to people when they would ask me interviews about, how are you a Christian in the mainstream rock world? And I'm like, how are you a Christian when you go to church? Like, do you stay? Like, how do you not become a prideful hypocrite? Like, it's really hard, because that's what it feels like. Our temptations are different. We still have to stay connected. But also, like, when he says about, you know, that's, if you become baptized, are you supposed to step down? That's got to be a question you ask, you know, in any area of your life. You're not going to step down from your marriage. You're not going to step down from your kids, you know, being a parent. But as far as like what I'm doing, like, God, is this going to die in the waters? Like, is this part of it? Like, do I lay this down? Because baptism is death and resurrection. And so the willingness to come up with nothing, you know, come up renewed. You know, I'm baptized into the Orthodox Church. That's completely a new thing to me. I have to learn. And this is why it was so difficult to go on tour. I didn't know how that was going to integrate into my life.
Right.
But
what we talked about.
Right. But one of the things that happened and was, I do meet and greets. It's funny. People help fund our tour by getting a special meet and greet. And I was nervous to do these meet and greets, because I was worried they were going to ask me about being an Orthodox Christian, and I didn't know what to say. He called you on the tour about this. And I was like, maybe they'll just ask me boring questions about recording stuff and music.
Right.
And then God will help me answer those, because they're so boring to me.
And it wasn't.
They didn't. They wanted to talk.
It was like all really deep spiritual questions, right?
Yes. And God was so gracious to like help me with each conversation, but it was hard to think about going into those conversations. Even now, when I think about it, I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But then when I get there, he meets me, right? So then I'm thankful. I'm like, because if you didn't, I'd be like, I need to just go home and stay home and make dinner and like, you know, I can do that. It's very practical. I'm just do better recipes or something. And those are good things. That is holy work.
Yeah. So it's, of course.
In the end, you have to have that continuous, like, and it helps to have a Father Tom in your life, you know, a priest that you can talk through things with. Right. It helps for you to feel covered when you go out there. You're covered by your priest. He's given you the green light. Yes, I think this is a good thing.
We were talking about, I think you had asked, like, well, I don't know how to say, like, you know, I've been a Christian for so long, but like, how do I bring up Orthodox? They said, I'll send you a box of pamphlets. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I sent you a box of pamphlets, and I said, just put them out there, you know?
Yeah.
That,
actually,
it really worked very, very well.
Well, I have some left, and I'm going to put them at our show next. That's coming
Excellent.
Up in Pittsburgh.
I'll give you more. We can print a lot of them. We're going to talk about the concerts that you have coming up in a second. So let's look at some of the comments again. Ryan M., he talks about Death to the World. Ryan M. says, Death to the World is a great documentary that touches on the similarity between the punk movement in the 80s and Holy Orthodoxy. I have to say that I'm not familiar with that. Lacey, are you familiar with that?
Death to the World? I know about it.
There's a documentary?
Oh, I don't know about
it. Oh, there it is. Oh, it says, yep, Death to the World, The Last True Rebellion. We'll have to check that out. All right. Very good. The Monks Who Made a Punk Zine. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Excellent. We'll check that out. In fact, I can post the link here. All right. Let's see what else. Shining Diamond says, Hey Lacey, I've been listening since the 07 album. I think you may have helped me find God in my youth without me knowing.
Wow.
There you go. God is working. Metanios Zaidan says, celebrities can be Christians, but we should not make idols of them. Can you talk a little bit about that, Lacey?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really painful thing for a lot of celebrities, is feeling like the weight of people looking at them like they're either not human or something more than human. Like, it's dehumanizing, right? We love to make fun of people who are famous as if they're not a real person. And the other way around, you know, that worship that's only due to God is gross. It's to receive it. And I had an experience with that when I was, I did a pop show. When All Around Me crossed over to pop radio, and Miley Cyrus was playing later on, and I had a bunch of her fans in front of the stage, and they were little girls dressed like Miley Cyrus, and they didn't know who I was, but because I was on the stage, maybe they did, but I don't think they did. They reached up their hands and screamed and cried, and I felt so. Like, that was the grossest feeling. And I turned back around to the drummer and I prayed, Lord, help me. And because I physically felt sick, like I was going to throw up. Like, I was like, this is wrong. So there is, and I remember a spiritual papa of mine before I was Orthodox, the one who walked Josh and I through our dating and married me. His name's Eric Patrick. He's a businessman now. He was a youth pastor when I first met him. And he told me the first time he understood worship was going to a U2 concert. And when Bono walked on stage and everybody with all their soul was reaching out to Bono, and he was like, wow, that is worship. And it's gross, because the weight of having that on you is not meant for you, right? It's not meant for you. It messes you up. And so it's really, I don't know how anybody does it. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I feel like it's absolutely a calling that you get grace for.
I think we have to give a lot of grace to those who, you know, ultimately fame, right? Fame is given by those of us who purchase products, listen to music, watch TV shows, watch movies, right? Like, without that, there is no fame. And so in a way, it is our fault, right? And I would also say that this is why I find you to, and I know, again, I don't want to embarrass you, but I find you so refreshing, because, you know, no one would ever know. And I think that's wonderful. So yeah, you have to measure, you have to count the cost, and in everything that you do, try to glorify God, to glorify Christ. Say, this is not about me. This is about God. And I think, you know, to actually achieve that is really very, very important. Let me ask you, Lacey, this is a little bit more, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Please go ahead. I think, you know, you receiving people kissing your hand, receiving people, you know, you have to have a humble heart to be able to do that. And you understand it. People outside might not understand how you can receive
That's
such a thing,
point.
Right?
That's a very good point.
And I remember this was a hard thing coming in as a Protestant, watching how do we give honor and not worship, right? Like this is veneration versus, you know, worship. And I remember when I used to go to church and people would recognize me before I was Orthodox, I would get really annoyed. And I would say, don't talk to me. This is about Jesus. And if you want a picture, don't you dare ask me in here. We're going outside for that. And maybe I'll talk to you. Like, I was really annoyed. And Josh knew that. And I went to this Orthodox church in Houston. And I walk in and there's icons of all these saints I've been reading about. And I'm so amazed. I'm just like gushing. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is St. Fotini. She was, God showed up to her and she went all over the telling people this must be God. And this is the same thing that I've done. And then I see Mary, you know, Mary Magdalene. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God delivered you from demons. And like, you like followed him. And I'm so happy to see you. And like, I'm going through, you know, the Aluit, St. Peter the Aluit. I just read his story. I was like, wow, look, this native, like, beautiful man. And I'm crying, like, and I'm venerating and kissing, you know, the feet. I'm like, just pray for me. And then right after all this happens, a girl shows up behind me. And she's like, oh, my gosh, are you Lacey Sturm? Your story meant so much to me. And I'm like, I'm and Josh looked at me and he goes, like, I'm about to move this girl away from you. And I was like, I'm so happy to meet you. And I hugged her. You know? And Josh was like, what? What? I was like, we'll talk later. But it was like this weird moment of understanding this was about celebrating what God did in their lives.
I love it.
And it was like, I felt like family with them already. I mean, I don't know them, you know? So it was a really weird moment for me personally.
I think in a way only God can set that up, right? Like you're going to the icons and you're going, wow, like St. Mary of Egypt, I love you so much. You're so amazing. And you're going through all these saints and somebody comes up to you and says the same thing. God can do that. I love it. There's another comment. I think Simon, you had put it up before. It's really good. A zealous seraphim says, in a lot of ways, it feels like celebrity culture has replaced the pantheon of gods to the average person. That's a good point, right? Like when we idolize people, I mean, the term there, idolize, should tell us something. And it's not simply an analogy. It's like you are really replacing God with this creature whom you are making an idol. So the whole celebrity culture and, you know, like all of the reality shows that are looking at people's lives and then how they're spinning out of control and we can't wait to see it. It's all, you know, it's kind of rather disgusting. I want to ask you another question, if you don't mind, because we're coming to the top of the hour and very, very happy for everybody that's in the chat room. Just stay with us just for a little bit. You know, this one is a little bit more sensitive, Lacey, and I want to ask you about this. So I talked at the beginning about Kat Von D. She went to a Baptist church. She was baptized. It made a ton of press for whatever reason. Like it was a huge amount of press. And I think it's because of all of her tats and she was on, LA Inc., you know, all of that stuff. She kind of has a certain look about her. And then her entering Orthodoxy didn't seem to make the big splash in the press. It did in the Orthodox social media space. What about the whole evangelical Christian business culture, where you have evangelical Christian music and evangelical Christian publishing and evangelical mm-hmm. Christian, it's like a parallel business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moving from that into the Orthodox Church, were there any consequences for you when you became Orthodox? Mm-hmm. Like, what was your experience in that world? And I mean, I'm not asking you to sort of call out anybody, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
what did you see in that world? Was it positive or was it otherwise?
Well, I think that the change was more in me. And the changes in me helped me to see things that I wouldn't have thought about too much before. I feel like I covered over a lot of stuff in my, like, with grace, I guess, because I understood a little where they were coming from. But there is a really, there's just a really strong lean to, you know, this weird kind of mask wearing. I mean, we don't understand, like, Orthodoxy, there's such a humility and a willingness to expose yourself, to, like, admit your weakness, to admit what you're going through. Like, I feel like I haven't, the people I met, the family members in the Orthodox Church are the first to, like, one of the first conversations I had with some guy was, like, we were at a Greek Orthodox festival and somebody dumped coals from the fire in the woods and this little girl burned her feet on them. And later on, we came back to the church and my husband was like, some idiot put coals in this girl burned her feet. And the guy sitting at the table with us goes, I was the idiot. I did that. I'm like, what?
Uh-oh.
Like, you just straight up said it. And then consistently, that's the way it was. Like, people would just say, like, oh, you know, and it just felt like so real. So much humility. And they weren't wearing masks. Like, to me, it just felt so natural. You didn't have to, and that's something that in the culture that I came out of, I didn't realize there is, like, an etiquette that you just don't talk that real. You just don't say that stuff. You know, they're going to judge you, or, like, you have to look more Christian than that, you know? And I feel sad.
You mean in the evangelical world, yeah. The evangelical business culture? Okay.
Yeah, well, the business culture can be the most shady thing ever. Like, the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the business, Christian business, with some of the highest Christian names in the Christian world, evangelical Christian world, and he's not the only one. There's lots of people I know that have worked in these circles, and they come away from it not, like, really questioning their faith. They have to get out of it because it's so shady and weird,
wow.
And they feel very used. It's just all about the ministry, and, you know, everything's being exposed right now. There was a lot of prayers during the election for Biden that there was, like, everybody's like, expose things, Lord. And then God's like, okay. And he starts exposing the church. Like, he starts exposing all these leaders.
Right.
It's so interesting because it's easy to fall into that because you're thinking there's a greater purpose than just the person I'm hurting. But really, in Orthodoxy, that doesn't, because we understand icons, like, each person is an icon of Christ. Like, I don't know, like, every person is important. I don't know, that's what I've seen. Like, one-on-one is important. I see a priest,
absolutely.
And I've never went to an Orthodox church where a priest didn't personally have a conversation with me if I wanted to ask a question. And that's just not a thing outside of, I don't know, I just never.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you, and I know absolutely nothing about evangelical culture and so forth, but there was a very famous, not very famous, but there was a YouTuber that I think he's called the Atheist Church Audit. And he went to an Orthodox church and he was talking about what a good experience it was and so forth. He had gone to seminary and he was a big Christian and then he sort of became an atheist. But he said that one of the amazing things was that the woman that greeted him at the Orthodox Church, I think it was in North Carolina, was so genuine and so kind and so welcoming and not trying to sell him on anything, but really loved him. He said it made such a tremendous impression on him. Then the priest talked to him. The priest talked to him for a while, invited him over his house. They had coffee. They had, they had lunch. His wife made food and whatever. And he said, when I went to evangelical churches, he said, the pastor never came up to me, like never. And that shocked me because I'm like, what is that all about? So you're confirming that apparently that's a thing. All right. So yeah, any last words, because we're going to wrap it up here.
Well, I do want to say, I feel like as far as God moving, like the Holy Spirit moving in people and bringing them into the Orthodox Church right now, it's like, I have a friend who is really pushing me in a conversation that's a famous artist and pushing me to like give them answers about something and about faith, about God. And I just had to keep going, well, you know, in Orthodoxy, this is the way it is. And Orthodoxy, and I kept saying things like that. Well, we have confession and then we have the Eucharist and like, and this is how we heal from things. And, you know, and I was saying things and I was like, but I would never tell somebody I would never try to get somebody to be Orthodox because God has to do it. Like the Holy Spirit has to bring you. And I felt nervous, you know, because it's so holy and it's him. Like he has, and what's beautiful about that is that he's actually doing it. Like my relationship with different people that have been famous that are coming into faith in the Orthodox Church. I talk about their relationship with Christ, but I wouldn't talk about Orthodoxy blatantly. And then they'd come up to me and say, I'm reading this Orthodox book. It's amazing. Or I'm listening to Ancient Faith Radio or blah, blah. And I'm like, see, like, this is not me. Like, he's doing this. It's something the Holy Spirit is doing. And so I'm just thankful for that because it's good to be in the place you are when you feel like that's what God's doing. It's just good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's very interesting that, you know, you were on the front end of that. I mean, a lot of these bands now are contacting you. They are talking about Orthodoxy. I know there's that band, I think it's called Holy Name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones that were using all of the iconography and drawings and so forth. But I think they've maybe pulled back a little bit on that, but they're becoming Orthodox. And you said a bunch of other people are also. Just a couple
Tommy
of
Green
other... Amazing. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So just one last comment here from the chat room. It says, Ace Koala 45 near the end. Hey, Lacey, it's Raphael. We met at St. Nicholas in Myrtle Beach. I am back on the West Coast and I am a reader now. I do regret not getting that picture with you. So Ace, if you send me an email, I promise I will get a picture of Lacey for you and I will send it to you. Ace, send me an email, aft@ancientfaith.com. All right. So Lacey, let's do one last thing. Thank you very, very much for joining me today. I really appreciate, you know, I love you dearly. I wish you all the best. And you had a tour with Flyleaf in the summer. You also had a lot of your own tour, right? The Kenotic Metanoia tour. And you have a little mini tour coming up, or at least starting in the end of February. So Simon, if we could bring that graphic up, please. Lacey is going to be with... Young Other, yes, at four locations in Pennsylvania. So February 28th, she's going to be in Pittsburgh. March 1st, she's going to be in Scranton. March 21st, you're going to be in Marion Center, PA. And March 22nd, you're going to be in Harrisburg, PA. The one in Pittsburgh is a fundraiser for the IOCC. God bless you that you are doing that you're doing that good work and giving those proceeds to the IOCC. That's really important. Lacey Sturm, God bless you and all your work. Please tell Kat Von D that we love her. We're praying for her, that, you know, you could be her big sister in Orthodoxy, that you could help her navigate all of this. But there are a lot of people that are rejoicing, and we rejoice at all of the good things that you do, because we know that everything you do, you glorify God, and we're so appreciative of you. Lacey Sturm, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Father Tom.
All right. I want to close with a little quote here from St. Peter of Damascus about humility. And it says, "We have never achieved anything good on our own, but all good things are ours from God by grace, and come, as it were, from nothingness into being. For what do you have which you did not receive?" asks St. Paul. "Receive, that is, freely from God. And if you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it, but had achieved it by yourself? Yet by yourself, you cannot achieve anything. For the Lord has said, 'Without me, you can do nothing.'" And that's our show for tonight. Remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ancientfaithtoday. Share our program after that's posted. Give us your comments and feedback, and contact us with any ideas or topics that you want to talk about. We're going to go back to our regular format next week. What we want you to do, though, is share the show out. And we'll see you next week for another edition of Ancient Faith Today Live. God bless you, everybody.